need your prayers this evening. Thankful to be here. I've had a burden on my heart for a number of months to come. I think I started making phone calls to different ones trying to get a day to back in January. So I'm thankful that the Lord made a way to be here. It's my desire, above anything else, to make heaven. And I want to do anything that I can to be a blessing and a help to you to do the same. The burden that the Lord has given me to share with you tonight is about chasing a dream. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of John. John, the 6th chapter. We read the account here in the 6th chapter of John, an amazing account of how the Lord multiplied just a few loaves and fishes and He fed the multitudes by it. And I'd like to pick up a little further down after that. Beginning in the 25th verse, John 6 and verse 25. And when they had found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, when camest Thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek Me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. They were coming to Jesus and seeking for Him, looking for the occasion to be with Jesus again. And He looked upon them and knowing the thoughts and the motive of their hearts said, You're not coming after Me that you might be fed spiritually. You're not coming after Me because you've had a spiritual revelation or awakening to your need. It's not that. The reason that you're seeking Me is because I fed you. It's as simple as that. And it was something that your body was fed, you were provided with a free meal, and here you come looking for the same thing again. And He chastised them a little bit there for that. Don't seek for that. Don't labor for the meat that perishes. Don't let that be the focus of why you're seeking after Me. Because Jesus came to give so much more than that. He came as mighty of a miracle as that was that He did. He came to do something even greater than to feed the body. And that was, as He goes on to talk about here, He said in the 31st verse, Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat, they said. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life into the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. Went on to deal with them about that. The Jews, they didn't receive it. They weren't able to understand it. They were looking in a literal sense at how He was doing it. But Jesus telling them, I've come to give you something more than what Moses gave you. He gave you bread and Moses is dead now. That was something that satisfied them and the Lord provided them manna day by day. Every day He provided them manna. And that one day He gave them two for the Sabbath. But it was enough to cover their needs for that day. And they were hungry again. But and if that had been the extent of what Jesus came to do, you know, after Jesus left then, they would have been hungry again. But Jesus says, I come to give you something greater than that. I come to give you bread that you can eat of and you'll never hunger again. Bread that you can partake of and it'll satisfy, but it's not fleeting. It's not something that you eat of it and the next day you're hungry all over again. You know, that's why so much of the world has to offer. Just temporary satisfaction for the hunger of the soul. Jesus said, don't labor for that that doesn't really feed the soul. I trust this evening our prayer. I don't know that they fully understood what they were asking for. But may we say, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Lord, let me partake of the bread that You came to give. That bread of life, that's the only bread that gives life. the only bread, and Jesus speaking of a spiritual life. I am the bread of life. Partake of me. Except, he told him, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can't be a partaker with me. But if you do that, you have life within you. It's life-giving bread that the Lord is. If we partake of that in our lives, if we take upon ourselves His body and His life and we eat of that, it gives us everlasting life. It gives us that beyond what Moses had, because he said here, Moses has passed on. He had bread that was just temporal and that was just fleeting, but I give you something that's eternal. Yeah. I give you something that's everlasting. And so he has for us today. Yeah. Book of Galatians, the 5th chapter. I'd like to bring out a point. Galatians 5. Five and 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit after the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Jesus is that spiritual bread. And I would say to every one of us here tonight, we're feeding one of the two. We're either feeding by our lives, by the things that we partake of, by the things that we invest ourselves in, we're feeding one of the two. We're feeding the flesh, we're feeding the appetites and desires of the flesh, or we're feeding the Spirit. Which are we feeding? Which bread are we partaking of in our lives? The two are contrary the one to the other. They're in conflict one with another. So much of the world is obsessed with the feeding of the flesh. They're in a crazed frenzy to try to feed and satisfy in any way they can the desires and the lusts of the flesh. But this exhortation is to walk in the Spirit, to feed the Spirit, to give of that life-giving bread unto us and to partake of that in our lives. I'd like to turn now to the 29th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 29 and the 7th verse. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition and that distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. It shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh and behold, he is faint. And a soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be, the fight against Mount Zion. The Lord giving this warning against those that would come against His people. They were in a place that they had strayed from Him. But I want us to get a hold of the image that God created. If I'm against you, this is what it's going to be in your life. You'll hunger. You'll have a desire to fill the needs of your life, and it'll be as a man that dreams. Whenever you dream and you can imagine and think in your mind that I have everything that I need. I have, and it's an illusion before you. I have everything that I need to satisfy my life. But whenever it comes down to it, I eat of that and I'm still hungry. And I wake up and it's like I've had nothing before me. And then I have to go and I have to seek something else to try to fill that void. And as a man that is thirsty and he drinks in his dream, but he awakes and his soul still has appetite. You know, it's the same to anyone that follows after the desires of the flesh. Because the flesh can never be satisfied. The flesh and the desires of it, fill it though you may, and try to satisfy it and try to feed it, can never be satisfied. It's only the Spirit that can truly be satisfied with the life-giving bread that Jesus gave. And so I believe this warning and caution is to every one of us. Walk in the Spirit. Feed the Spirit. Don't follow after the flesh. I believe this is a picture of our world today. Following after and chasing after everything they can of the flesh. But there comes a point, I'm convinced, that they realize it's not doing it. But many times they go on and they try to grasp for more and more, to fill their lives with more and more in hopes that I can satisfy. There's something in me that's hungry. You know, hunger is a very real feeling. It's a trigger of the body that says, I need something. I'm craving something. I need you to give me something to satisfy this. The craving of the soul cannot be satisfied by the fulfillment of the flesh. That need in the void that my soul cries out, I need something. I long for something. It can't be satisfied by the flesh. Can't be satisfied by following after the ways of the world. Because it'll be as a man that chases a dream. It'll be as a man that I think I'm there. I think I have it. I think this next great thing is what'll satisfy me. And I get there and I buy that or I go do that and I'm still empty. I'm still hungry. So I've got to go to the next level and the next depth and a greater extent. Just always trying, and the enemy all the while feeding and baiting me along into a deeper and deeper road of sin. That is the path that the flesh will take us. This world in a maddening rush to feed the flesh. Scripture says that there would be a time that there would be a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. A famine of those that have a spiritual appetite to hear. Those that have a desire to hear the word of the Lord. I've so satiated my senses and my mind, I have no spiritual appetite for the things of the Lord. And there's a famine of that in the land. If you read in the book of Haggai, won't turn there for the sake of time, but the Lord, in dealing with His people after they had been brought back from captivity, and His house was still in desolation. They had gone and they had restored their own homes and were living their lives. It had been several years since they had been brought back. And the ministry of Haggai was to come, and the message the Lord sent was, consider your ways. Stop for a moment and consider what you're doing. Consider what you're following after. He said that you saw, well, I would like to turn and look at a few verses of that. Haggai 1 and 9. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts. Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. You looked for much. You labored, you expended your efforts and your energy and all this that you've done. But what's it really gotten you? Think of the saying, only one life will soon be passed. Yeah. Only what's done for Christ will last. Yeah. At the end of all of our lives, you know there are so many that are expending their energy, expending their efforts, expending their lives, and wasting years trying to take unto themselves, trying to satisfy the temporal needs of this life, and not tending unto the most important of all, the needs of their soul. If God, we all know the scripture, if God be for us, who can be against us? But think of that in the reverse. If God be against us, who can be for us? If God calls for a drought, who can bless? If the Lord blows upon my efforts, there's nothing I can do to fulfill myself. And that's what He said that I did. I called for a drought. I called that your labors and your efforts and everything that you put into it, it came to nothing. Oh, He told them, wake up. Consider your ways. Consider the way that you're going. Don't you realize that you're not satisfied? You're not feeling the fulfillment of having the blessing of the Lord on your life? The covenant that the Lord made to the children of Israel, I have a land for you. A land that's flowing with milk and honey. I'll provide for you. I'll give and meet your every need if you follow me. So it is with us if we follow the Lord. The Lord will satisfy and meet every need that we have. But should we begin to follow after our own desires and the lusts and desires of the flesh, we'll find ourselves in a place that the Lord's blowing upon it. The Lord's blowing upon the efforts that we're expending. Solomon's testimony, he said that we know he was wealthy. He said that he withheld nothing from himself. You read this in the second chapter of Ecclesiastes. Everything that his eye looked upon, that he desired it, he got it for himself. You talk about the little story of King Midas and the golden touch. You know, that seems like to many people, if only I could be in that place. If only I could buy and obtain everything that I want, that I long for, that I desire and wish that I had. But Solomon, at the end of it all, looked back and said, all is vanity. Yeah. Because you get all this and you leave it to another and you don't know what they'll do with it. It's all vanity. It's empty. It's nothing. It's really of no value at the end of your life. I thought of the recent Mega Millions lottery jackpot that we saw. I heard about in the news of lines of people down the streets, and there were some that maybe last time around the certain convenience store sold the winning ticket. And so lines of people down the street thinking, maybe this is it. Talked to people at work. I was surprised by how many had tickets hanging on their toolbox. And they all told me one day, Clint, if we win this thing tonight, you're not going to have any of us here next week. Because their hopes that this might be it. Even though the chances were one in a couple hundred million, that my ticket is the winning one. I heard him talking over and over. This is what I'm going to do with it. This is the first thing I'm going to do. Fantasizing, dreaming about it. Chasing a dream. Hoping if only, you know, this would fill the needs of my life. You know, and heard it said, oh, I'd give to the Lord. If I had all this money, I'd give to Him. I could give to His work. I could have a better house. I wouldn't be under the pressures that I'm under now. If only. Labor not for the bread that passes away. Let's not let that be our focus and our desire. I read about a man named Billy Bob Harrell. Lived in Texas. He was a minister, a father. He was a husband. Seemed like he lived an average, ordinary life. Didn't have a whole lot in the way of earthly means. Worked a job and times began to get tough and he was laid off and had to go scrounging for work, and said that many times he would stop by on a Wednesday or on a Saturday, I think it was, and go by and buy a ticket for the lottery. And he would talk about with his family, if only one day I'll win the lottery, I'll be able to provide for you. We won't have to go through this anymore. We won't have to be so constricted in our lives. If only I could win the lottery. This man, minister, father, husband, won the lottery. One night as he came on the news, the numbers, he looked at his ticket and compared it, and the numbers matched, and he began to realize that he now owned $31 million that was to his name. A dream. Something that I've longed for. Something that I've dreamed. I've thought about. I've fantasized over. If only I could have that. That's the aspiration of my life. And everything. I read a billboard coming up from Oklahoma. It said, I live to see the red screen. Talking about it was an advertisement for a casino. I'm thankful I live for more than that. I'm thankful I have more than a red screen to live for. I have something more than a far-fetched, remote chance of satisfaction. I have something that's a one in one chance. It's a guaranteed thing. If I give of myself and I follow after the Lord. The song says, I have found it, Lord, in Thee. I found what my soul desires and longs for. This man, Mr. Harrell, thought he found it. He got his money. He bought a ranch. He built six mansions. Bought cars for himself and his family and friends and others that came to him and needed help and needed assistance. And he said that he had friends that he basically never knew he had that began coming out from everywhere, needing help and writing their stories to him of the conditions they were in. And he would try to help them, enjoying it and living it to the fullest. But it didn't end there. his life began to unravel very quickly. It was a matter of months that began to have marital problems. This young man that seemed to have everything going for him, the marriage, began to have marriage trouble, and his wife left him. Began to have problems with fraud and others taking a hold and trying to obtain his fortune. Began to have one problem after another, and got to the point his life began to spiral out of control. Within 20 months of the time that he obtained his dream, they found him locked in a room with a shotgun laying next to him, and he had taken his life. Now wait a minute. That's not supposed to happen. The fulfillment of a dream is not supposed to end that way. This was everything that this man longed for. What he had thought about, what he had dreamed of, what he had spent hopes week after week after week. If only I could obtain it. If only it would fill my needs, it would satisfy, it would provide for my family. Labor not for that bread. Don't let that be the focus of your life. Don't let your mind and your heart be set on those things where moth and rust doth corrupt, but there's a treasure in heaven that you're to invest yourself in that never passes away, that's secure from every foe. The enemy employs what's called bait and switch tactic. Ask Eve. He promised everything to Eve. The Lord knows that you'll be as gods. You'll have understanding and you'll have wisdom and knowledge. But there was a lot of the story He didn't tell Eve, wasn't there? There was a lot, a life of heartache and sorrow, a life of having to see her son lose his life at the hand of her other son. All those things, those weren't supposed to be part of the bargain. That's not what I bargained for. That's not what I went up to the tree and pulled the fruit from. I just wanted it looked appealing to me. There was something about it that drew me. You know, we don't have to be far out in sin for this to apply to us. But it is a caution for every one of us. Labor for the bread that doesn't perish. Let that be the focus. Guard your heart against the desires of the flesh. That can start out as a legal, as a natural desire of the heart. Remember Esau? Esau, for a morsel of bread, despised his birthright. Came in from the field, and you think of the value of that. Was that bowl of beans really worth it? Was it really worth it to sell not only his life, but for generations to come, the blessing upon the family? Was it worth it for a bowl of beans? But do you know that's the essence of what people are selling their souls for today? Just for a bowl of beans, something that really in the end does not mean anything. Whenever I draw my last breath, I could throw it away. I could cast it aside. It means nothing at that point. The enemy will promise everything and give nothing. He'll promise everything in the world. It's kind of the analogy of the carrot before the horse. He'll put it out right in front of you where I think that's what I want. And I set my eyes on it and I begin running. And I begin trying to reach it, but you know the thing about that is you never reach the carrot. You never get there. I keep running and I keep trying to reach it, but it's always the same distance out in front of me. You know what a mirage is? Whenever you're driving out over a hot highway and you see shimmering on the road that looks like water, it looks the same out in the desert. And there have been people that have lost their lives out in the desert. Wander out in the desert, maybe not know too much about what they're doing. Begin to get dehydrated and I look out and I see there's water. And it looks like an oasis, a stream, a river of water out there. And I begin following after it and I begin going and walking. And the farther I walk, the farther away that mirage is. And I never get there. I never get to that point. Because it's an illusion. It's something that my mind tells me it's there, but it's not really there. Such are the ways of sin. The ways of the flesh. I think satisfaction is there. And you know, someone like that, you couldn't convince there's not water out there. Because I've heard of those that there's perhaps a guide or someone would try to convince them that's not water. Don't fall for it. Don't believe it. Don't believe your mind. Turn and go back. You'll be better off staying right here. No, I see it. There's water out there. Oh, how many of our young people, how many of those that have gone out thinking, no, I hear what you're saying, but I see something better. I see something out there that's appealing to me and attractive to me. Begin to go out and pursue it and chase after it and expend their energy until they fall down dehydrated, exhausted. I tried to find it and I couldn't. The satisfaction that I hoped for was not there. People are chasing a dream. People are chasing something that has no essence or satisfaction to it. You may have heard of, recounted about the pitcher plant before. Pitcher plant's a carnivorous plant that insects are attracted to, and that's what it draws its nourishment from. One of the techniques, the mechanisms of the plant that attracts the insects, it has a gland of nectar, food, that runs all the way up the outside of the tube and over the lip and down inside of the plant where the enzymes are that consumes the insect. And an insect comes along and catches the scent of that and begins to eat of it. And that follows a trail right up the side of that plant. They follow and there's something that they notice, there's a narcotic in it. There's something that it alters the way that they're able to think. And you can see this happen. Insects will just plunge right over the edge. But there's no satisfaction. This nectar that I started to eat of is just leading me on to something else. It's the same way with the flesh. That starts out seeming so innocent, so harmless, but it's feeding something besides the spirit. Because I would remind you that we're doing one of two things by everything we partake of. We're feeding the flesh or we're feeding the spirit. And if we begin feeding the flesh and satisfying the flesh and investing in the flesh, it'll lead us to something greater than that. The prodigal son came to himself, realized that he longed for and dreamed for, it's not quite what I bargained for. When I'm out there and I wish I could partake of the pig's food, and I wish I could even have that much to eat, and I have to go back. And he did. Back to Father's house that has all he needed. Paul said that he learned something. I've learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. There is a great lack of contentment in our world today. Contentment with where I'm at. I always want the next station. I always, if only I could have the next job. If only I could move. If only I could change the circumstances of my life. That would fill it. That would satisfy. But all the while, overlooking the real root of the problem. Overlooking what would truly fill the satisfaction and the need that they're filling. That of their souls. I'd like to close in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 55 and 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Why do you spend your life chasing after the things that have no value? Chasing after the things that consume my time but have no value to my soul? Why do you invest yourself so much in that that really has no worth spiritually? He said, come ye to the waters. Oh, I thank the Lord. Remember when Jesus was at the well? He told the woman there that wanted a drink, I have some different water to give you. This water that you drink of out of the well, you're going to thirst again. You're going to want some more later, but I've got water for you that you'll never thirst again. I have something that'll satisfy from here on out the longing of your soul. You know, the Lord has that still for us today. If we have a longing in our soul, oh, let your soul delight itself in fatness. Delight yourself in good things. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the river. Revelation, it puts it this way. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Yeah. Let everyone that is thirsty come and partake of that water of everlasting life. Are you chasing a dream tonight? Are you chasing after something and pursuing after something and really not finding fulfillment in your life? You tired of chasing after fulfillment? Come ye to the waters. Come and buy and partake. Let yourself delight yourself in fatness, in everything that you could want and long for. You'll find that that's the only thing that can satisfy. No matter, and history is full of those that have gone and chased after. I know of a man began to follow after the desires of the flesh and gave himself over to that. Story of many. Began to be more and more consumed with himself. Sometimes it was nothing that was necessarily wrong with it, but would invest his time hours and hours on end doing something that just satisfied himself. Began to spend more and more time away from his family. Began to spend more and more time out doing, again, just frivolous things that really had no worth. Came down to the point that he finally threw away the best things that he had. His family, those that loved him the most, he forsook it and went to chase a dream and a fantasy that existed on the internet. Went to chase something that he thought would satisfy the pleasures that I have. Lord, help us. You know, it doesn't start out there. It doesn't start out with something drastic like that. But the enemy wants to appeal unto our desires, our hunger. The enemy wants to cause us to begin satisfying ourselves with that that's not really the true spiritual manna that the Lord has for us. That'll lead us down a path that it'll take us further and further and further. Come ye. And I put out the invitation again, if you're tired of chasing, come get something that's sure. Get a hold of something that's positive, something that's guaranteed satisfaction. The song that we sing that says, I am drinking at the fountain where I ever would abide. It says that there's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay, for I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away, one that is eternal, one that doesn't change, it doesn't leave. I found it, Lord, in Thee. And every one of us tonight can find that pleasure, that satisfaction, that fulfillment. It's in walking in the Spirit and satisfying the things of the Spirit. You pray for me. Amen.